You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
And as you are seated, you can find a Bible and turn to Psalm 127. We're going to get there in just a couple of moments. Glad to be together today. I pray that you are encouraged here at church. As we do so, I just want to remind you, we have a prayer meeting this Wednesday. You've heard already, but at 7 p.m., I just really, really hope you will be longing to be a part of that. I want to remind you, too, we have a couple hundred of our senior high youth and dozens of leaders right now that are finishing up their weekend retreat up north, and they'll be returning, Lord willing, this afternoon, and so just we're praying for them and all that is happening there as well. That's a very big deal. So here we are in a new series. This is entitled, Unless the Lord Builds the House. Our tagline is this, God's design for blessing in every home. God's design for blessing in every home. This is scheduled to be a 10-week series on several aspects of the God-designed, God-blessed home. Why are we in this series right now? Because our world is desperately lost and desperately confused. And the reason our world is so lost and confused is because we have rejected God's wisdom. And listen, this is so important. Whenever anyone rejects God's wisdom, they also forfeit God's blessing. Some of you need to hear that right off the start. It is that simple and is that important. When you reject God's wisdom, you forfeit God's blessing. You and I desperately need the wisdom of God, because when we have the wisdom of God, then we have the blessing of God. This series is designed then to state clearly God's design for blessing in each and every single home. That is so important and so needed today, again, where we find ourselves. And right from the start, I want to say this too, as we jump into a series on the home or the family. This series is designed for every heart in this room. Every single heart in this room, this series is designed for you and where you are, no matter where you particularly find yourself, again, right now in life. We're going to unpack God's word on the home as it relates to issues such as family, obviously, marriage, singleness, parenting, financial debt, wisdom as it relates to the book of Proverbs in the home. We're going to unpack, again, a message on what is the great enemy of the home, really the great enemy of our heart. We're going to look at dysfunction in the family. And we're going to, Lord willing, wrap up the series with how does the church function as family ultimately. It's been several years since we've done a series like this. Several years, and I think actually over 10 years, and we are very, very much in due. And what we know to be true is this, as the home or the family goes, and we'll see in a second too, when I say home, and it's more than just the families we think about, the home is really my heart. And us making up, again, our hearts and homes together, as the home or family goes, so goes the nation. Like, we know that to be true. This is what the Bible teaches us. As goes the home, as goes the nation. So therefore, it's very, very important, again, what we're about to do. Now remember, again, whether you find yourself exactly where each message is or not, I want you to widen your understanding and your appreciation for each week as we go through it. Whether or not you find yourself exactly again in the topic of that particular weekend, one thing's for sure, you are in relationship with someone that does fit exactly again for the topic of that particular weekend. So for example, if I'm a young person and we're preaching on marriage, I am listening and I'm taking notes because I want to be wise. I don't know what my future holds, but many, many young people believe and desire that marriage does, again, pertain to their future. At the same time, if I'm a married person and we're preaching on singleness, I'm very eager to learn and take notes that I may love better as I go forward. If I'm single and we're preaching on parenting, I understand I have a part to play in the family as it relates again to those in my life, a very important part to play that is God's design. If I'm in my elderly years, then I have the wisdom to see how the strength of a home is the strength, again, of society. And so I'm compelled to pray I'm compelled to pray that God will use and bless and fill and move in such a series. You see, so maturity in Christ understands the healthier the home, the healthier the church. No matter where I find myself, I want every home to be healthy here, because then we are healthier as a whole. And we got to fight against this, because we live in this consumeristic, individualistic society where if it's not exactly about me where I am, then I'm not listening. Well, that's ridiculous. That is selfish and immature. God's design for that is so much larger and so much greater and so much bigger. And he allows the individual to become part of the whole in the body of Christ called the family of God. So maturity understands, again, I want everyone where they are to know God's will and blessing, because in the end, we all are helped in the process. Again, maturity in Christ understands that theologically and practically, as the home gets healthier, we all win. We all win. So this is obviously a very important series. And we don't know exactly, again, where the Lord's going to take us. We have a plan in place, and we have, again, subjects that we're, Lord willing, going to go through. We don't know exactly what the Lord is going to do through this series. But we want to be as faithful as we can, and we want to pray that lives will be changed in the process. Amen? Amen. Amen. So what we're going to do is we're going to turn this room into a little mini prayer meeting for a couple of minutes. There's two prompts I want you to see on the screen. You can pray as you are led, of course, whatever. But we're going to take 2 minutes as we start this series, and we're going to do spiritual battle right now. If you want to, I would always prefer you pray again out loud with people, but if that's not something you want to do, that's completely, completely fine. You can pray by yourself and then seek the Lord. But let's turn this room into a prayer meeting. Let's seek the Lord spiritually. Just this morning, woke up and really just being vulnerable, just very dark thoughts, very discouraged. And already the Lord is combating that. But just like just a few hours ago, I'm just like, man, so we are always in a spiritual battle, and we pray to fight against such things. So I need you to believe that what we're about to do is not just a good thing to do, it is absolutely essential in the battle that we are engaged with right now. Because lives are at stake. Eternity is at stake. And souls right now need to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ. So would we take 2 minutes? I'll close this off as we end. Let's take 2 minutes and let's just pray right now. Lord, lead us. So Father, we take so seriously this time. Thank you to hear the prayers of the people. Love, 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 love that sound. So good. We pray that every home may hear from God during this series in Jesus' name, and every heart be transformed, no matter where they find themselves, in Jesus' name. We recognize the spiritual battle and opposition. We recognize the victories in Jesus Christ. We recognize these prayers matter. Use them, multiply them. Father, we are trying to be a church that seeks you, because as we seek you and draw near to you, then you promise that you will draw near to us. So may that be true right now. Lord, help us. Again, we are very, very clear that unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. And so we desire to not labor in vain. We pray this together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Yes, Lord, would you use it? That is such an important thing to do. I want you to look at Psalm 127, verse 1. We're going to spend a few minutes here. This is really the intro for the series, obviously. And then we're going to spend a couple of minutes on some other passages as well as it pertains to this idea, again, of the house and home as it is found in Scripture. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." Unless the Lord builds the house. Unless the Lord builds the house. The Hebrew word for house appears 1,000 times in the Bible. It is used literally to describe temples, palaces, and homes. It is also used figuratively to describe households and families. Unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord builds the house. This word also represents one's sense of self-identity or security, one's place in this world. So it's right in one sense to say, unless the Lord builds the house, and you're thinking like my heart right here, like who I am, who I hope to be and where I hope to go. Lord, unless you build this house, that is very, very appropriate. So in this sense, every single one of us, again, represents a house. Every single one of us needs the Lord, listen, needs the Lord to build this house. We need the Lord to build our homes. The essence of verse 1, if you want to boil it all down, the essence of verse 1 is we are 100% dependent upon the Lord. We are 100% dependent upon the Lord. It's like the Old Testament version of John 15:5, apart from Christ we can do nothing. Unless, Lord, you build my house, I labor in vain. Lord, you must build my house. The Lord must build my house. If it hasn't come up already, this is the overarching point again of our sermon today. The Lord must build my house. Notice the title of the psalm and notice who the author is. Can you see the title of the psalm and notice the author? The author is Solomon. Maybe you knew that before you opened up Psalm 127. Maybe you didn't. It's important that you do. Unless the Lord builds the house. Solomon knew a thing or two about building. Solomon was commissioned to build the palace. His palace took 13 years, again, to build. Solomon's commission ultimately to build the temple. Solomon, again, knew a thing or two about building. And what is Solomon saying here? Solomon is saying, unless the Lord builds the temple, who cares? What good is a temple without the Lord? He's saying, what good is a home without the Lord? What's the point? Build all you want without the Lord, it's all vain, worthless, it's empty. It's interesting, whenever I'm, you know, in a text and studying for this all week and trying to work hard on this, and then I also have my own personal readings where I am, and it's amazing, again, how often it lines up, or there's certain things that stand out. I'm going through Genesis and other parts that will come up again in just a few moments as well, but I was in Genesis 11 in the Tower of Babel. And there you are, and it just, humanity, this is what humanity does. Let us build a tower and make a name for ourselves. That's what humanity does. That's the sinfulness of the human heart. It's not about the Lord, anything to do with him. Let us build a great tower and stack brick upon brick and make a name for ourselves. And in the end, of course, that becomes absolutely worthless. Nothing. And the Lord guarantees it'll end up as futility and worthless as well. Because unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor again labor in vain. I want you to notice the word unless. The word unless occurs twice in consecutive statements in verse 1. Unless the Lord builds. It's very Solomon-like to say something like that. It's very Ecclesiastes-like to say something like that. And Solomon, of course, wrote Ecclesiastes. Unless the Lord builds, all is in vain. And notice the word vain occurs three times here in the first few sentences. The word vain occurs three times in these two verses, saying to us, every single home desperately needs the Lord. Again, the word vain here in Psalm 127 verse 1 means it's futility or worthlessness apart from the Lord. Psalm 127 is a wisdom psalm. The wisdom in this psalm is this, if you boil it down again to a sentence. Without the Lord's blessing, all human toil is ultimately worthless. Without the Lord's blessing, all human toil is ultimately worthless. That's humbling for us. Excuse me, and yet it's true. Unless the Lord builds, those who labor, labor in vain. Now, this doesn't mean we don't labor. We do. It's not saying we don't labor. It's not saying the rest of verse 1 that we don't watch. The watchman needs to watch. But what it's saying is we labor in full dependence upon the Lord. I just mentioned to you my own personal reading. So I'm in Genesis. I just finished Ezra. And now I'm just into Nehemiah yesterday and today. It's amazing to me as Ezra, again, commissioned as a leader to rebuild the temple. And Nehemiah commissioned to rebuild the walls, again, surrounding Jerusalem. It's amazing to me that both, again, in Ezra and then in Nehemiah, literally today, this morning, it says about Nehemiah, and the good hand of the Lord was with him in his desire to rebuild. And Ezra, and the hand of the Lord was with them. You have two men very eager to labor. They're laboring, but God is with them. That's the key. Without the Lord, no point. Without the Lord, nothing. Why? Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Notice, unless the Lord. Look at the word Lord. In my translation, it's all caps. Unless the Lord, that is the ESV's way of indicating this is the name Yahweh. This is the eternally existing God of glory and the universe, the I Am. Unless the I Am builds, unless Yahweh builds, we will labor in vain. We need Yahweh to build our lives. We desperately need the Lord to be the one who is filling and guiding and strengthening and giving wisdom and power for this life. How can we possibly do it without him? And of course, Solomon, who wrote Psalm 127, he's a very powerful example and warning to us in this regard. When Solomon was leading the nation of Israel with the Lord, the nation of Israel and the reign of Solomon reached unparalleled heights in the history of Israel. Israel was a global superpower under Solomon with the Lord. But then Solomon got distracted. Solomon got greedy. Solomon got filled with lust. Solomon started to build without the Lord. And devastation set in, and disaster struck. Because unless the Lord builds, those who labor will labor in vain. It was Adam in Genesis 2 who was entrusted with a garden to keep. A garden to keep with, with the Lord. Let me speak to the men here just for a second. Love to do that. Men, we have been entrusted with a garden to keep and a home to build. With the Lord. With the Lord. Only in the Lord. You try to keep that garden on your own, you try to build that house on your own, it's not going to happen. You might accomplish things the world applauds. God will not be applauding. every man has to stand in the doorway of his house and has to understand, spiritually speaking, and to say out loud, unless the Lord builds this house, I will labor in vain. God, I need you to build this house. I need you to be the one and the one, the only one who can build this house. I'm telling you, so many of us are so busy building. We're so busy building, we've forgotten the Lord entirely. So many of us are so busy actively building whatever it is around us. All the distractions and all the things of the world, and some of them aren't even bad, but we're so busy with things around us, we've actually left God behind. That is a total failure. Because unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. But I want us to all see very clearly here, okay? We are all in the construction business, every single one of us. We are all building our lives. We all have received from God a stewardship of building our lives. The question becomes, under the stewardship of the construction we've been entrusted with, who's the architect? Who's the contractor? What are we even building? What are we building towards? What is the purpose? What is the purpose of this construction? Incredibly important questions to be able to ask and answer. What are we building and why? Over the Christmas break, I read a biography on the Vanderbilt family, one of America's all-time wealthiest families. Very interesting. They had an obscene amount of money and an insane amount of luxury houses and possessions. It's really, really interesting to see the rise and fall, the triumph and tragedy in so many ways, again, within a family that has so much. One of the stories within this was Cornelius Vanderbilt II. He was led to build a summer home. You can call it a cottage. I want to put a picture of the cottage on the screen for you right here. This is the cottage. Maybe some of you actually have been there. This is in Newport, Rhode Island. 62,000 square feet. 62,000 square feet. Summer cottage. Not bad. The footprint of the house covers an acre. Just think about that. The footprint covers an acre. As I said, built by Cornelius Vanderbilt II, it was started in 1893, I believe it finished in 1895. Cornelius II, he was able to enjoy it for 4 years. He died of a stroke at the age of 55, 1899. Only 4 years after it was built. The house, as one author says, stands to this day. It stands as a temple to excess. Stands as a temple to excess. Unless the Lord builds the house. I mean, in the end, right, you have these people who do these things and whatever, and whether it's this, you know, major example or our little examples in our lives. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Cornelius Vanderbilt II, he's age 55, he dies of a stroke. Suddenly, he stands before God and he stands naked. Job said, naked I came into this world, and naked I shall leave. We live in a time of full-out obsession with physical homes and possessions. It's very important for us to take stock of the time, the effort, the stress, the resources, and the ostentation that so often surrounds us. It's so interesting too, right? I wrote this section on Tuesday of this week. And then you wake up Wednesday, and you see the fires raging through Los Angeles. And you're just like, you're looking, and how many people, they were themselves on Tuesday, and then they wake up Wednesday. And in this particular case, the, you know, immense amount of wealth and others, but you're just like, it's such a powerful reminder. My heart breaks for all that's happening there. How devastating that would be for any of us on any level. But it's such a powerful reminder to say, at the end of the day, what are we living for? Because it's here when because there's so many people in these situations, everything they live for was built up in this thing. And then the fire comes and it's gone. A lot of them don't have insurance. And then you're like, well, what the heck is happening now? All of a sudden, all of life is brought to ashes. Which, by the way, the Bible tells us that it's all going to burn. And so for us then, it's the wisdom to say, what am I living for? Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. If it's not with the Lord, it's not anything. You can have 50, 60, 80, 90 years of all this opulence, but in the end, it's just you. See, this is where wisdom comes in. And for us to look around and say, what am I doing? Why am I living? What is the purpose of my life? And what am I actually trying to go for? We are 100% dependent upon the Lord. Do you remember the story of Mr. and Mrs. Thing? This needs to be read at least once a year. I think it's been way too long since we've read this. The story of Mr. and Mrs. Thing goes like this. Mr. and Mrs. Thing are a very pleasant and successful couple. At least that's the verdict of most people who tend to measure success with a thingometer. When the thingometer is put to work in the life of Mr. and Mrs. Thing, the result is startling. There he is sitting down on a very luxurious and expensive thing, almost hidden by a large number of other things. Things to sit on, things to sit at, things to cook on, things to eat from, all shiny and new. Things. Things to clean with, things to wash with, things to clean and things to wash. Things to amuse, things to give pleasure, things to watch and things to play. Things for the long hot summer, things for the cold, in our case, long and winter. Things for the big thing in which they live. Things for the garden, things for the lounge, things for the kitchen, things for the bedroom. And things on four wheels, and things on two wheels, and things to put on top of the things on four wheels. And things to pull behind the four wheels, and things to add to the interior of the thing on four wheels. Things. And there in the middle are Mr. and Mrs. Thing, smiling and pleased as pink with their things, thinking of more things to add to their things, secure in the castle, in their castle of things. What I just want you to know, their things can't last. They're going to pass. There's going to be an end to them. Maybe an error in judgment. Maybe a temporary loss of concentration. Or maybe you'll just pass them off to the secondhand thing dealer. Or maybe they'll wind up as a mass of mangled metal being towed off to the thing yard. And what about all the things in your house? Well, it's time for bed. Put up the cat and make sure you lock your door and make sure some thing taker doesn't come and take your things. And that's the way life goes, doesn't it? And someday when you die, they only put one thing in the box, you. Again, Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return. Paul in 1 Timothy, he says, I brought nothing into this world, I will bring nothing from this world. What is this called? It's called wisdom. The Lord must build my house. Because if the Lord is not building my house, in the end, there's nothing I have to show. We transition now. Without the Lord, everything is in vain. Here's the question, though, that I want to ask as we move towards the completion of the message. What then does the house that the Lord builds look like? When the Lord builds the house, what do we know to be true? I have four things I've written down. When the Lord builds the house, here's how we know. When the Lord builds the house on the screen beside me or behind me, number one, when the Lord builds the house, the foundation is Jesus Christ, 100%. When the Lord builds the house, the foundation is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, I'm going to do most of the work for you as we turn to these passages on the screen for you. At the end, I'm going to ask you to turn. You better not be lazy, okay? 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation of life. Jesus Christ is the foundation of eternal life. So listen to this, ready? Every single home the Lord builds, every single one, the foundation is Jesus Christ. Only this foundation is eternal. That's exactly why at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus again teaches in Matthew 7, verse 24, we all know it, the parable of the man who built on sand versus the man who built on rock. The man who builds on the rock, the storms will come, the house will stand. The rock is Jesus Christ. Only the foundation of Jesus Christ will withstand the storms of life. Only the foundation of Jesus Christ will withstand the storms of judgment. I'll say it again. every single house the Lord builds, the foundation is Jesus Christ. And in the end, that's the only thing that matters. So question, is your foundation Jesus Christ? Is your foundation truly Jesus Christ? I'm not asking if you've heard of this foundation. I'm not asking if you could even describe this foundation. I'm asking, is he your foundation? Is he personally and relationally and actively and supernaturally your foundation of everlasting life? Because every single home or house the Lord builds, the foundation is 100% of the time Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is not our foundation, then everything we're doing will be in vain. You make the foundation Jesus Christ in your life for all of eternity by believing in him for the Savior of your sins, by giving your life to him and believing in him by grace through faith. Jesus Christ, you are Lord and you are Savior. And I give my life to you. I believe in you. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead, defeating, again, sin and death and Satan forever. You are the Lord. I love you. I give my life to you. You now are the one who is the foundation of my entire life. When someone does that sincerely by faith, then they are saved. They are saved. They will never die again. And Jesus Christ is their foundation. Listen, when the Lord builds the house, the foundation is Jesus Christ. Secondly, when the Lord builds the house, the frame is wisdom. The frame is wisdom. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4 on the screen for you. Take a look. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. By wisdom a house is built. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, listen, the rooms are filled with all pleasant and precious, again, or precious and pleasant riches. Amazing here. I love these verses so much. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. My heart delights in such truth. Listen, like look at this verse, stare at this verse, meditate for a few seconds on this verse, and understand, right? Don't ever underestimate the value of wisdom in your life. In this case, your home, your house is built on wisdom. That should get your attention. By wisdom, a house is built. You see, we must understand, and when we see and understand, that is wisdom itself, right? We must see and understand that wisdom knows this affects every word I speak, every thought I think, and every action I take. Wisdom affects everything I do. So imagine a home filled with the wisdom of God. A home filled with the wisdom of God is a house being built by God. The power of wisdom. God, I want to know your wisdom. I want to be led in your wisdom. But imagine the opposite. A house of foolishness is a home of chaos and conflict. You are rejecting God's wisdom. You are rejecting God's will. You are rejecting, therefore, God's blessing. And no wonder there's chaos and conflict and division and pain and hurt. No wonder. Wisdom saves us from so much unnecessary pain, conflict, and hurt. It's no surprise as elders and pastors over 20 years of ministry here, the most difficult situations we face by far are marriage and family conflict. So difficult, so complex. So confusing, so devastated by sin. The husband that somehow thinks his affair will be blessed. You idiot! Like seriously though, they convince themselves, I will be blessed as I pursue sin. You are an idiot! You. How did you come to that conclusion? Because your sin overrides any sense of what the Bible teaches on the basics of understanding of purity, integrity, and godliness in Jesus Christ. So you come up with this plan. I'm going to have an affair on my wife, pursue adultery, and I will be blessed in the end. Yeah, I don't have categories for such, again, idiocy. I'm sorry. What else do you want me to call it? It just drives me insane. God, save us and help us. As the power of the flesh and the deception of Satan starts to override what we know, what we know to be wrong, and just pathways of. I mean, how much does Proverbs itself detail the path of this? Proverbs 5:7, half of Proverbs 6, just detailing the destruction that awaits such moves. The wife who will only blame and criticize and condemn her husband. She will not take any responsibility for anything. She just stands in judgment and resentment and criticism and condemnation and blame. The young adult who pursues a pornographic addiction and utter slothfulness. All of this is foolishness. It'll never build a house. It just tears one apart. It will never build a house. Like, I could go on with like 40 other examples of foolishness. Like, let me just say, like, if you're in the process of such a path, it will never build up. It will only tear down. Because that's what God says. And this is what we know to be true. And we got to stop being so dumb and to look to the Lord and to say, God, your will is the greatest will. Your wisdom is always right and always blessed. I don't want to be an absolute fool. Listen, the ways of God just work. That's why one of my favorite verses in Proverbs is Proverbs 4:7. The beginning of wisdom is this. I mean, that gets my attention. The beginning of wisdom is this, and maybe it's not the one that you're thinking of. In this sense, the beginning of wisdom is this. What is it? Get wisdom. Get wisdom. I love that. You love that? I love that. I want to be wise. Then you want to be wiser. The beginning of wisdom is the man or woman or child who wants wisdom. When they are wise, they are blessed. How do you know you're growing in wisdom? You want more wisdom. Isn't that awesome? So basic. So wonderful. So simple. Yet not easy, yet so able in God. The beginning of wisdom is the desire for more wisdom. I want you to notice in Proverbs 24, verse 4, 2. Maybe we can put that back up on the screen for a second. I want you to notice there, by wisdom a house is built, understanding is established. Notice this, the knowledge of the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So we learn here that wisdom provides the structure of the house, but the second part of that, wisdom also provides the decor. The rooms are filled with precious and pleasant riches. Beautiful. The blessing of a home filled with wisdom, it's filled with the fruit of the Spirit, which is so glorious. The foundation is Christ. The frame is wisdom. Thirdly, we see the focus is righteousness. The focus, when the Lord builds a house, the focus is righteousness. Proverbs 3, verse 33 on the screen for you. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Straight up, the Lord blesses the pursuit of righteousness. Matthew 5:6, Sermon on the Mount, Beatitudes. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Hey. The Lord blesses the pursuit of righteousness. You know what I love here? I love it's not about the size of your home. It's not about the neighborhood you live in. It's not about your newly renovated kitchen. It has nothing to do with that. The blessing of the home is for those who are in serious pursuit of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is the blessing, and the favor of God is found in him. I think of when you start to think of this kind of idea of house and home according to Scripture and building, you start to have many different verses that come to mind. I was, you know, meditating on this and thinking this week, and then you think of Luke chapter 12, and Jesus tells the parable of the man who has so much stuff, and he has so much stuff, so he goes and builds bigger barns. And I'll relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But then that night he dies, Jesus says, and his soul is required of him. And God calls him a fool. Fool, this night your soul's required of you, and the things you've stored up, whose will they be? build bigger barns, and yet at the end of the day, he dies and he stands naked in judgment before God. Naked I came in my mother's womb, naked I return. I brought nothing into this world, I'll bring nothing from this world. You have all the bigger barns you want, in the end it adds up to nothing. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus says, what does a man profit? He gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul. You gain the whole world, you get the whole world. But in the end, you have nothing. Because only the righteousness of Jesus Christ matters. The blessing of the Lord is on the home that loves him. I mean, if you want to put it as simply as you can, the blessing of the Lord is on the home that loves him. I want you to see this progression here just for a second again as we're learning here. When the Lord builds the house, wisdom is so massive. Righteousness, see, wisdom says righteousness, like righteousness of Christ, but holiness in Christ as well. Wisdom says, I'm not going to sin. Wisdom says, I'm going to go for righteousness. And then those who pursue righteousness are those who are blessed. They find the blessing and satisfaction of God. Wisdom in the Lord. Jesus Christ is the foundation. Wisdom leads to righteousness. And then righteousness leads to blessing. This is what the Lord is promising to us again today. The house of righteousness in Christ, but then the desire for godliness from our lives. When the Lord builds the house, the foundation is Christ. The frame is wisdom. The focus is righteousness. Lastly and finally, we end with this. The future is certain, or you could say the future is glory. The future is glory. I want you to turn with me to John 14. Turn with me to John 14, please. And we just end with this passage here. Let me hear some pages turning, please. That would be so good. John 14, verse 1. The future is certain, or the future is glory. When the Lord builds the house. So now, like, the word house is going to pop. Home's going to pop. Like, that's what happens when we're on this theme now. This will just be brief. John 14, verse 1. Jesus says this. Who's this for today? John 14, 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, listen, I will come again, Jesus says, and I will take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. Man, when the Lord builds a house and you belong to him, your future is certain and your future is glory. Your future is guaranteed to be the house of the Father. I mean, you want to talk about mansions. Can you imagine the mansion of the Father? Can you imagine the beauty of that place? Can you imagine what that will be like in the presence of the Lord God Almighty, seeing Jesus Christ face to face? Man, imagine that. Imagine how good that will be, how powerful that will be. But listen. The future of glory is guaranteed for those that are in the Lord. But this is not possible. Listen, it is not possible to have a future of heaven and glory unless the Lord builds the house. If the Lord has not built the house, the future is not going to be glory. The future is going to be death. But when the Lord builds the house, the future is absolutely certain. Let me just ask you this question as we end this message. Have you been trying to build your house apart from the Lord? Seriously. Have you been trying to build your house apart from the Lord? In your strength, in your wisdom, in your desires, in your appetites, in your timing, in your pleasure, in your idol. Have we been trying to build a house apart from the Lord? If we do, we are laboring in vain. It'll be worthless and futile in the end. The ultimate message today is, the Lord must build my house. We have the opportunity to surrender our homes again afresh today to the Lord. Lord, help us in this. Amen, church? Amen. Let's pray. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. We do not want to labor in vain. I pray for men, women, and children today that they would know 100% that the Lord is building their house. I pray for all those today who have not surrendered to the Lord. We have been building our homes apart from God, his grace, his strength, his wisdom. I pray today is a day of fresh resurrender, of resurrender to the Lord, to say, Father, you You must be the builder. Yahweh, you are the only one who can build, ultimately. And we join you in that desire, in that pathway today. God, I beg you to speak through the men today who are so hunger for pleasure, materials, and riches. I pray instead they would hunger for righteousness in Jesus Christ. I pray for the women today that are obsessed with beauty and clothing and appearance and status. I pray instead they would be obsessed with Jesus Christ and his blood and righteousness and his love. I pray for children today that are obsessed with reputation and temporal stuff and the desire to be liked by others. I pray instead they would be so desirous of knowing that Jesus Christ is their first and last, that he is the one building their lives. He is the one building their homes. He is the one that will cause them to have an everlasting and sure foundation. Yes, Lord. May our hope be built on Jesus Christ alone. We pray this now, and we pray that you will lead and bless this entire series. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's stand together.